The Feast of Pentecost is one of three feasts where all males over 12 years old were required to appear in the temple. The other two were the Feast of Pete, sit up, or don't go to sleep. The other two were the Feast of Passover and the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles. During these three feasts, if you did not appear in the temple, you were cut off from the people. Now, cut off, depending on which rabbis were in charge, cut off either meant dead, cut off, and stoned, or you were expelled from the camp. Now, the expelling from the camp and the being cut off to an Israel, to a member of Israel, was the worst thing that could happen. There is nothing else that can possibly compare with being cut off. Therefore, the threat of being cut off is the fear of God in a very real sense. Now, here's what God said. The reason the book of Ruth is read on the Feast of Pentecost is several reasons, but one of them is because the first line is, and it came to pass in the days that the judges judged. Now, the Midrashic interpretation of that is it came to pass when Israel was judging their judges. Now, we'll get into what that means in a minute. But God allegedly said in the Talmud, remember now, the people have left Egypt in type. We're out of the world. We're in the wilderness. We're encamped at the foot of Mount Sinai. Moses has ascended and descended a couple times, and now he's gone back up. The people have sanctified themselves, which means that one of the things I forgot to tell you was they didn't have sex for 3 days. There was all kinds of things that happened. But the key to it was what was God's response to this people who had come out of Egypt, had come out of the world, were in the wilderness, were doing something in the wilderness, or on the way to the promise. Here's what God said. My children are rebellious, yet to destroy them is impossible. To take them back to Egypt is impossible. Change them for another people, I cannot. What then shall I do to them? I will chastise them with suffering and try them with famine in the days when the judges judge. Okay?
He said that like while they were in the wilderness?
No.
Is that a midrash thing?
That's a midrash. Now, another thing, the prayer. It's the same thing. Lord of the universe, they have served idols, we have served idols. They meaning the nations. They have been guilty of immorality, we have been guilty of immorality. They have shed innocent blood, we have shed innocent blood. Then God says to Michael, the judge, dost thou stand silent and hast no defense to offer for my people? Then God himself says, I will speak righteousness, and with my own right arm I will save my people by the merit of I and I alone. Now that's what Pentecost is all about. It's not because of you that we are about to celebrate Pentecost. It's not because of your faithfulness that we are about to celebrate Pentecost. It's not because of your lack of murmuring that we are about to celebrate Pentecost. It's not because that you've been nice that we're about to celebrate Pentecost. Each one of you today alone have broken probably every one of the Ten Commandments in the Spirit, and many more. But it's because of his own name that he will glorify in the midst of us that we will celebrate Pentecost. Amen. Now, can you feel that? Bananas, the last time we met, was about the certainty that each one of you are the chief of sinners. If you know you're the chief of sinners, then you know that if there is anyone that you have not forgiven for anything from the heart, then you don't know you're the chief of sinners. Now start in the easy ones, husbands and wives. If there's anything that you have not forgiven your husband or your wife for, then you do not know that you are the chief of sinners, and therefore you cannot celebrate Pentecost because you are taking a stand. Now, if you don't feel that, you're in deep shit. Now, look around to the next easiest one. If there's anyone of the brethren that you have not forgiven from the heart for anything that has ever happened, then you cannot celebrate Pentecost because you do not know that you are the chief of sinners and you're taking a stand, and God will not share his glory with you while you're taking a stand. Now look in your own natural family, the family after the flesh. Is there anyone in your family that you have not forgiven from the heart? If there is, then you cannot celebrate Pentecost because you do not know that you're the chief of sinners and you're here based on your own rightness. Now look at the world and everyone that you have ever come in contact with. If anyone in the world has ever done you anything that you have not forgiven them from the heart, then you cannot celebrate Pentecost because you are taking a stand and you do not know that you're the chief of sinners. Do you understand? Now, let me ask you, is there anything anyone has to say? This is not light stuff. If there is someone that you have not forgiven, that means that you are still psychically tied to them. Therefore, it means in here, it means that you are dragging that person down with you. In the world, it means they are pulling you out of the promise and back into the world. Now, the reason we're doing this tonight is if you do not know that you are the chief of sinners, if you do not know how much God has forgiven you of, if you're still walking and standing in your own rightness, then pray that the fear of God would come upon you tonight. Do you understand? I'm talking from the heart. I'm not talking lip service. There is no matter that could have ever happened to you or that is happening to you now that you have a right to take a stand on. Because in the judgment seat of God, you then, the moment you took the slightest stand, you are denying the efficacy of the power of God. And therefore, you shall not know Pentecost. But worse than that, from my standpoint, is you are leaven in the body, and I will ask you to leave if I discern it. No matter who you are, You understand? The evil is nothing. I'm not the evil one. Your righteousness is the evil one. I'm not the one that's speaking hard words. Your idiot stance is what's speaking hard words. God is so sick and tired of our own stands that he is, you know, rather than pouring out his spirit, he's going to puke on us. Now, the only way, remember we studied the book of Joel. We studied it rather clearly, I hope. The word Joel means Jehovah is my only God. You can't know that as long as you're taking a stand. Because your stand, the thing that you're making, that's giving you the rightness, is your God. And God is jealous. You better see the fear of God on you if you don't know you're the chief of sinners. There's some of you that still have this stupid impression that you're pretty nice. Well, if you're pretty nice, then stand up to me. Tell me some about your niceness. But if you can't stand up to me, you are in deep shit when justifying your rightness to God. If you don't know that you are the chief of sinners and everybody else in the world is better than you, then you cannot serve Pentecost. You cannot be a partaker of it. We have some that are in deep trouble over that issue. You know who you are. And again, I exhort you, I beg you to go out, go sleep in the, go out in the middle of nowhere to see your own nothingness with nothing to give rise to your own idols, your own ridiculous rightness. Go out and sleep all night in the grass with the snakes and the scorpions. We're going to study about Ruth. It's fascinating. The Hebrew language is fascinating because there's one, you know, there isn't really names in Hebrew like, I mean, every name is the meaning, is the word. You understand what I'm saying? It's like there's no numbers. Every letter of the alphabet has a numerical equivalent. Well, there's no name like Bill. The name means something. But the name Ruth, for many years I thought the name Ruth, and it says it in all the right concordances, I thought the name Ruth meant friend, companion, lover, because it's Reuth. But it means something, it's far better than that. That's why I screamed a minute ago.
Submission has become very clear to me.
Yeah.
Doing something because the Bible says to submit. So now whenever somebody tells you something to do, if you do it, that's submitting. It's a set. You don't have any rights.
Amen. Ruth is from the Hebrew word, a contraction of the two words, ra'atha, which means see well. Or see perfectly. Or latter rain. Clarity. Perfection. No shadow. No turning. No more grays. No more lukewarm bullshit. Black. White. spirit, soul, never again to never, and to revenge any response that you have vis-a-vis the soul. Without mercy to revenge it. To bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, and your obedience is fulfilled at Reuth. And we'll see that in a massive way when we study the book. Understand? Okay, now Estelle, I'd scare the shit out of you. Now, let's read the Psalms of Ascent and return to the New Jerusalem. Yeah. Shut up.
I was already planning to sleep out there, but I didn't know anything about the snakes and scorpions. Snakes.
Now, before we do this, sing Habakkuk 3.
Though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive tree shall fail. If fields yield or kneel, and vineyards are cut off, yet will I rejoice in the Lord.
Page 6.
The Lord is my strength, and he will go to any length. So he made my feet like those of the hind. Looking to his face, I've learned to walk right through my high place and receive my joy from God. Job had lost his family and everything he owned. He had boils upon his body that made him sigh and moan. He didn't understand why he was ground into the dust. He said, Lord, though you slay me, yet will I trust. For the Lord is my strength, and he will go to any length. So he made my feet like those of the hind. Looking to his face, I've learned to walk in the high place.
Spring up.
Faith in God Jehovah, raise the old king's ire. If God chooses to save us, they said, his strength abounds. But if not, let it be known, we will not bow down. For the Lord is my strength, and he will go to any length. So he made my feet like those of the hind. Looking to his face, I learned to walk in the high place, receive my joy from God.
We got to do one more. We'll see when we read Ruth and some of the Midrash on Ruth that this is a feast of shaking all things. And so we have to sing the one song.
The one song?
The one song. Page.
What?
20. Page 20. Rick, you want a book?
Yeah.
There's one right behind you.
Oh, I
just
put that
in there. I don't have
to.
Oh, this is my favorite song. She's feeling a little bad. Think about that.
It was big time.
Stars were arranged in their patterns and lines.
What?
The song was passed down with its rhythms and its sounds. And its words could be heard on the outside of time. melody escaped us. We fell into a well, and in an underground cove, deep in the hidden grove, we were worshipping and murdering and seeking for ourselves. In our spiral dance, now's our one chance to reach out for joy, to reach solid stone, to reach the one romance,
to reach the wide
sense of freedom we've somehow always known. The millstone breaks and the earth quakes. Some will feel fear, strangulation. I can see it now, for the grove must bow to the one song's crescendoing vibration. In life's spiral dance, now's our one chance to reach out for joy, to reach solid stone, to reach the one romance, to reach the wide expanse, freedom we somehow always know.
Get ready.
Shake the foundation, everything must fall. Shake all the nations, break down all the walls.
Psalm 120. Do you remember that in the book of Joel, the reason that there was no wine, no wheat, no meat, no trees, was because there was no joy in man? Remember that sloth is the deliberate refusal of joy.
What is
sloth?
That's the three-toed thing that hangs in trees.
Right. Yeah. No, it's lukewarm.
That's what you turn into when you're sloth.
You turn into a three-toed thing and you hang in a tree.
I'm not justifying me. Forget me. I don't exist. You've got everybody. I mean, you gotta be. Yeah. If I can put you in a trip, then that's nothing. I mean, man. Can you put me in a trip?
I don't think so.
And why should I be able to put you on a trip?
It just happened. You know,
okay, then the way out of it, the way out of it is instant. You know, the way out of it is hitting me if you feel like it. But not sitting there and, you know, eating your own vomit. Do anything but eat your own vomit. That's really dumb. Okay, now you can be happy.
Well, I can't.
Just think about what you don't have to do.
Okay, now, Psalm 120. They couldn't recite the Psalms of Ascent until he entered the Promised Land. Once they entered the Promised Land, then they could begin to recite the Psalms of Ascent. Understand? The goal of the Psalms of Ascent was to ascend to Jerusalem, the place of all joy, the place of all freedom, the place where you are certain with every part of your soul that you are hid with Christ, in God, in the heavenly, sitting on the mercy seat, owning all things, knowing all things, understanding all things. That's where you're going tonight. We're about to get there. Now, you at the first part here, you're allowed to be a little fucked up.
But not mad.
Huh?
But not mad.
Well, even that, just a little bit. For the first couple, you can be a little bit mad.
You just got off the boat, right?
You just got off the boat. You're a little seasick. You got some jet lag.
Camel leg.
Got toe jelly. Toe jam.
Toe jelly?
Well, some jelly, some jam, depending on, you know.
This is the answer to the age-old question, Daddy, Daddy, how long till we get there?
Right.
You should be in the car with us.
What?
Yeah, we got that.
We got that.
Now, I want you to see while we read the Psalms of Ascent who the singular enemy is. It's your high place identity, the sin principle that dwelleth in you.
Amen.
It is no longer you that feels bad, but him that dwelleth in you. Now get rid of the fucker.
Amen. Amen.
It's no longer him it's no longer you that's upset or just or whatever it is. It's him. Now we're going to bury him tomorrow, forever. That's what baptism is about. Now don't tell me you've been baptized before, because you may be baptized 500 times before we're done. Each one is to a new level of understanding of what death means. You're going to get dirty when you get baptized, because being buried is dirty. Mucky.
We baptize him.
Now, since Larry isn't here, you know, I always feel weird when I'm assisting baptizing. When I baptize people, it doesn't work. When I even touch them when they're out in the water, it doesn't work. So Gary is going to baptize, but I'm going to ask Larry to assist if he gets his butt here. So it would be Larry and Gary that baptize. Huh?
Hopefully he'll get better.
Doesn't matter whether he's sick or better. He's going to get dead and baptize others.
Good aspiration.
What's wrong with your baptisms?
I don't know. I don't feel right about it, just like I wouldn't feel right about marrying somebody here. It's just not me. I mean,
it's not your option.
It's not
your
option.
Psalms of Ascent.
That's the ticket.
Okay, are you getting ready to stop feeling sad?
Where we feel sad?
Are you getting ready to stop feeling sad? Stop feeling whatever it is that's dumb.
Yeah, because I just figured out who it is that's getting yelled at next time you start kicking my ass.
When did I do
it's
that?
Not me. I said next time.
Oh.
It's not me.
Always accusing.
The other guy's ass.
No, he's talking about the other guy being this guy.
It's his problem. He can go out and take a walk.
Oh, nerve ties. Oh, okay.
It's like there was this story where kids about the two twins, and you hit one and the other one feels it or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my brother.
Yeah,
like it's the other Harry. The trouble with Harry,
the old guy.
Another guy.
In my distress.
Wait a minute.
Huh? Yeah.
I don't have a Bible.
We're waiting for some great confession.
You're really confused.
He's so disappointed us.
Where did all this joy come from? A minute ago, you were all ready to leave.
We didn't have to.
We just stopped talking.
I said,
you stop talking.
You and Harry said, by the beard says, you take the walk. Then you'll be better. Then you'll all be good.
Yeah, it's another creature.
send him out.
He wants to sleep with the skin.
Yeah.
In my distress, a minute ago, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips. Which ones? No. No, who said that? Did you say that? Wait a minute. Where's that 12-foot bug spray?
Yeah.
What
is
she can reach anybody.
The
12-foot wasp spray.
Yeah, I want to get the wasp.
Throw
on
the hornet spray.
No, don't.
Remember, the black ones don't.
What was the comment exactly?
She said, holy. Delivered me from lying lips. And I said, who's lying lips? And she said, holies.
You were pulling them out.
I didn't have to pull them very far.
All
right.
Okay.
You're right, enough. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Notice, the first thing that happens in entering into Israel, into the promise, is being delivered from lying lips and the deceitful tongue. Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. That's what the description of fiery darts of the wicked one. Where are the fiery darts coming from?
Oh, I thought that was what was going to be given unto and done unto the false tongue.
Me too.
But this is what's coming from the false tongue.
Well, either way.
Yeah, either way it hurts.
Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Everybody remembers well that man, right?
Where tents of Kedar?
Meshech, Kedar.
Well, you're not dwelling in the tabernacle. You're dwelling in someplace else. Okay?
Yeah.
My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. Who hateth peace?
Esau,
but who in you hated peace? I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh only from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He that keeps thee or protects thee will never slumber. Behold, he that protects Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. There's no time in which he isn't protecting. He isn't garrisoning. I'm gonna target him this instead of just reading it. Okay? The Lord is my guardian, my help, my total everything. The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He's not just going to preserve your spirit any longer, which is the seed of Christ. It's not, God wants you sanctified spirit, soul, and body. That's why you'll see throughout here, he commands his soul to be at rest. And the process goes not externally as we desire it. We want it to start with the body, then go to the soul, and end up in the spirit. But it goes first in the spirit. The spirit permeates the soul, and the soul permeates the body. But if you ever try to act, it stops the process. That's why the tabernacle was, the first thing in the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. The last thing was the linen, the white linen around it. And it's God that's raising the tabernacle, not you. So stop being concerned with your own rightness. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in.
From the sheepfold.
From the sheepfold. That's John. That's John. Remember, from this time forth and even forevermore. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Now that's in here. You understand? You will know with your soul, with your sensory perception. You've gone long enough just having this as some philosophical concept that's a spirit idea. You will know with sensory perception that your feet are standing in the New Jerusalem. Why? Because you shall be as Ruth. You shall see well. Everything you could ever dream for is right here. Whap! All your tears shall be turned to joy. All your fear shall be turned to love. All your doubts shall be turned to faith. All your mourning shall be turned to joy. All your self being consumed with self shall be turned to abandonment. When your feet stand in the New Jerusalem. And it never has anything to do with anybody else. You got to get that through your skull once and for all time. It has nothing to do with what somebody's done to you, poor you. It has to do with your lying mind and your deceitful tongue and your lying lips. Now, what's been delivered unto you? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is glory? Only in the New Jerusalem. I was glad. And they said, hey, come on, let's go up to the house of the Lord. Capisce? Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. What does compact mean?
I was listening to this on tape 2 weeks ago, and I can't even tell you. No, it was longer than 2 weeks ago. I've lost track of time. It was before the high place stuff. But it was such a different thing. I mean, okay, there's my blur.
Okay.
Continue.
Compact together means so closely united that if one hurts, all hurt. If one's in joy, all are in joy. Ephesians says that we're knit together in love. We are as the special linen that is so, I mean, they can't even make it anymore. They have so many weaves, so many thingies per inch or per whatever it is. So that truly if I It's what Jesus said, that if you're agreed, to agreed means to be knit together, means to be in harmony, means to be in one mind. Okay? Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Boy, there's a neat story we're going to find out about Ruth and David and Ruth's father in a minute. I mean, tomorrow.
Is it testimony? Is it like the ark?
Yeah. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that they shall prosper that love thee.
Think about peace. I mean,
absence of againstness.
Yeah, complete. It's like when the bride is complete.
Amen.
They shall successfully complete their journey.
Amen. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. You see, just like Job, Job's captivity was turned when he prayed for his friend. So, if you can say, for my brethren and for my companions' sake, you're not even mentioned, except that I will now say, peace be within you. Even if that means that you're not.
Oh, when I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, I've always thought that, you know, I've always heard that that was pray for Jerusalem to have peace, whatever Jerusalem is. But when you said it that time, I heard it, you know, pray for yourself to have the peace that is the peace of Jerusalem.
Right.
So just a different tense there, the different meanings of the words.
For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress. And that's what submission is. You don't know about this kind of stuff in the States. When you're in the Far East, where people are born slaves, they have one function, solely, exclusively, and that's to be a servant to the master. And the attentiveness is unbelievable. I mean, a movement will cause a response. The slightest movement. It's another way of saying it that would make more sense. It's like, you know, I remember this hotel that I stayed at Lugano. There were five waiters for every table. And if I flicked an ash into the ashtray, just one ash, not a whole cigarette, just one ash, it was clean. It was like there was anticipation of every need. That's why, I mean, in Europe, to be a waiter is an art form. We don't know anything about that. Here we have. But anyway, but that's what this means, that you sit, your life is as that maiden or servant who is looking only to the mistress or the master. And you become so attuned to that. That's what submission is. And when it talks about that we are submitted one to another, then we will automatically begin to be concerned with the other person's need. It won't be a law. It'll be the end result of love. Okay.
Wow.
For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Unto thee lift up mine eyes. Not because, you see, notice that it doesn't say anything about, because you're a nice person, I will seek your good. Or because you've behaved nicely, I'll seek your good. But because of the house of the Lord, I will seek your good. I don't give a flip about any of you. I mean, you know, in that context. If you left here, and most of you have seen this happen, and I've tried not to make it happen, but it happens. If you left here by your own volition, in my mind, it would be as though you never existed. Do you understand that? I don't care how long you've been here. Because once you left, then, I mean, I pray, you know, I hope, I would pray for the best for you, but in a very short time, it would be as though you never existed.
What are you trying to say with that example?
Because he's, the reason that he's seeking your good is because of the house of God, not because of anything about you. That's what we just read. If you don't, you'll become a man-pleaser. And if you please men, you shall not be the servant of God. You understand?
No. But I think part of the reason I don't understand is I'm trying to fit it in with something that happened this week. Kristen called me, and I really felt at a total loss to talk to her because I kept saying, well, and what do you say? We didn't really have anything to talk about at all. And so I'm sitting here trying to hear you, and I'm thinking about not being able to talk to Kristen anymore.
Which is though she's left.
So I've experienced that.
She's as though she never existed. I can't talk to her. She calls every once in a while, and her idiot sister calls me. I mean, they don't exist in my mind. I mean, if they called and said, you know, I need $100 or I need a place to stay, or if they needed anything, of course they'd be just like any other Gentile. I know that sounds cruel to you.
Well, I was not a stereotypically nice person.
Okay.
Well, you know,
I was not at all nice.
God only cares about the end result.
Yeah, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. The bride is edified as the members are brought together and interwoven in love. And the building blocks of Jerusalem are the members of the bride.
Amen.
If I remove myself, I am saying I am not that. And since the only thing that we care about is the house of the Lord, then why would we care about something that wasn't a part of the tabernacle?
Okay. Behold as the eyes, 123 verse 2, behold as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Now, one of the problems here is that you don't understand the word wait. Are you asleep, Tom? If you are, I'm going to kick your butt.
No.
We think that, okay, if I'm here, I'm going to wait on God, but I'm going to play a game of poker while I'm waiting. Well, I'm going to wait on God, but I'm going to go out and do my job while I'm waiting. Or I'm going to wait on God, but, you know, I'll knock off a piece while I'm waiting. That's not waiting on God. They that wait on the Lord, that means that to wait on him means that you stop existing except for the act of waiting on him. You stop eating, you stop drinking, you stop thinking, you stop doing anything except waiting on him.
An example is what you said a while ago about the servants.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not, if they're waiting for their master to make a move, they're not going to go take a break, you know, because, you know, they might.
Plus, anybody that's ever waited for a biopsy report to come back knows what you're talking about.
All right, better example. Wait for your loved one, the one that your new love, the one that you're, as she's coming off the airplane. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. And you talk about, well, I've been waiting here. You don't know anything about waiting on God. Waiting on God is at the expense of everything. So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he may have mercy upon us. You can't lean on your own arm of understanding if you're waiting in God. You can't wait and be involved in cause and effect if you're waiting in God. You can't calculate if you're waiting on God. If grace doesn't and mercy doesn't manifest itself, your whole world is going to crumble. That's what it means to wait on God. Now, if, because God desires one thing from you, and that's intimacy, and anything that interrupts the concept of intimacy between you and the Father, he says you had better hate, including your wife, your kids, your husbands, your fathers, your mothers, your own life also, because those are the enemies of intimacy in your life, vis-a-vis your relationship to God. You understand?
How do they become that?
Because you, they're competing alliances. They compete for your time. They compete for your intimacy. And then you begin to get sloth. There's nothing but sloth because you have a form of godliness but deny his efficacy because you don't know what to do. It is to wait on him. You say you pray. You haven't prayed yet. You're praying to your gods. They that wait on the Lord, have mercy on us while we wait. Understand? It's impossible for us to celebrate Pentecost. There's no place to celebrate it. There's no temple. We're not worthy. We don't know enough about the process.
There's no bread.
Well, we better wait on him. But I can't wait because I've got to go take care of... Right. And then, on that day, you shall say, but God, we went to Bible study for 10 years. I understood all the mysteries. You shall say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Because you never waited on him. Amen. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Amen. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say,
Lord who was on our side, and he rose up against us, and they had swallowed us up quick, and our rags were kindled against us.
Then the waters had overwhelmed us, and the stream gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The water, remember, is always the human race. It's always symbolic of the human race. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. Where is the New Jerusalem? On Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. Don't you understand how important the Psalms of Ascent are? If any time during any day you're not at peace, and you use all the little cliches that you've always tried to do. I'm crucified. Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm waiting on the Lord. Patiently. Patiently, I'm waiting. If you don't know that you're in peace in the New Jerusalem, then run to the closet and read the Psalms of Ascent. I don't care where you are, because that's what you have to do to go back up there. That's what they're for. Okay? They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good. I be good, Lord. No. Who's he being good to? The seed. And to them that are upright in their hearts. Who's upright in their hearts? The Holy One of Israel. His own right arm has gotten him the victory in you. He will glorify and sanctify himself in the midst of you. And it says, to target a little, it'll blow the minds of the people around you. Blow their minds. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. You know what the word froward means? You remember that, of a froward heart, that terrible word? I mean, it's translated stiff-necked. And the word froward is the Hebrew word for one who plans. It doesn't matter whether the plan is right or wrong. It's one who plans is froward, which means rebellious. Now, see, you don't believe that. Because you sit there and plan all day. You think, oh, but I got a plan. I got a plan. Someday when I understand, then I'll be at rest, then I don't have to plan, then I can abandon myself, but today I got a plan. And he shall say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Understand? But how can I live? The Lord shall lead them forth. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, and every way is crooked, my friend. God didn't sanctify your plans. God sanctified your faith. Your faith is manifested in your abandonment, not in defining some preordained thing and then asking God to bless it, and then you define faith about how... Faith is of not knowing what the hell is going to happen next. Well, these things come up, well, and respond to them. Respond to the stimulus at hand. But don't, because see what the reason it is the problem with planning is the plan becomes, and the steps in the plan become the idol. And the idol is that which is in a competing alliance with the Lord Jesus Christ. So rather than the moment of responding honestly to the stimulus at hand, not caring whether it works or not works, you've got an idol that you're worshiping. And it's done in the littlest things during the day. You got your day all planned out, just like we do. That's an idol in there. But I didn't know what else to do, so I asked the Lord to forgive me, and we made an idol. Okay. Well, it didn't make it right, wrong, or different, but at least I recognize what I'm doing. Then, obviously, the first thing that happens, it says 9:30, Psalms of Ascent, 11:30, Psalms of Ascent.
Really 12,
what? Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Turned again means he freed you. We were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What precious seed are we bearing about? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord protect the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his way. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say,
many a time have they afflicted me from my youth.
Yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He has cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them be confounded and turn that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up. The mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Okay, now we're getting near the temple. Because we're starting to get a little bit happy. And then we remember. And we say, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they that watch or wait for the morning. I say, more than they that wait for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. And with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. See, that's why you have to know about the stuff of being the chief of sinners. Because otherwise you'll automatically compare. You say, well, I'm not so bad. I've never done all those dumb things that all we did. Most of you didn't do them because you didn't have the chance. If the Lord should mark iniquities, who should stand? But see, it's one of those dealies. It's one of those magic slates. It's like if you try to keep one point of the law, then you're guilty of all the law. If you don't know that you're the chief of all sinners, then all that are there are marked against you. Then you will be judged by your works. Do you want to be judged by your works? If you respect persons, let me give you, we're going to take this cross a little deeper tonight. If I can put a trip on you, then you're a respecter of persons. And if you are a respecter of persons, then you are guilty of the whole law. You understand? I hope so. Verse 1, Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor in mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Does anybody remember what that means?
You try to figure out what God's going to do.
What? Well, we're going to rush on. We'll. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Now listen to this one, folks, tonight especially, if you've never listened to it before. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, nor slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out the place for the Lord, the habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Until you find out where his residence is, I will not give slumber to mine eyelids, mine eyes, or sleep to mine eyelids, until you know experientially where the habitation of the Holy One of Israel is, where the mighty God of Jacob lives. Otherwise, all this stuff I talk about is just so much intellectual bullshit. Then the Christ died in vain for you, unless you know where his habitation is. Well, I don't feel like it. Okay. Lo, we heard of it at Ephrathah. Remember, anybody remember where Ephrathah is?
Bethlehem.
John always remembers that. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacle. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Hallelujah. The Lord has sworn it in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priest with salvation. And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Now we've gone into the gates. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. The precious ointment was the oil, and it was the anointing oil. The anointing oil, the name for the anointing in Hebrew is Hamashiach, which in English means Christ. When the oil was poured down over Aaron's beard and flowed, there was a preciousness about that that's hard for the English mind or our Western mind to understand. But it's you and I putting on the Lord Jesus Christ through the agency of the Holy Spirit. And we're making no provisions for the flesh. Then the joy of the Lord will be your strength, and great shall be that strength. To make no provision for the flesh, to fulfill the desires of the flesh, that's impossible. You can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you better. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. And what it says in the Hebrew, again we miss it. It says, there only the Lord commanded the blessing. That's the only thing God's doing. God didn't give a holy rat's ass about the Middle East war. God didn't give a holy nothing about Jerry Falwell getting, or whatever these guys are doing, or Pat Robertson running for president, or somebody having a healing crusade, or somebody having a salvation crusade after the understanding of salvation. God doesn't care anything about anything except one thing, that is the blessing forevermore, which is commanded exclusively at Mount Zion, at the New Jerusalem. Everything else is child's play, because there is the bride edified. There is the bride builded. There is the renewal of the mind. Nowhere else is the renewal of the mind. You could go through life, the rest of your life, in this religious BS that most of you came out of, and God would say to you, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Because only the blessing, only the thing that is important to the Father is what we're about. And he is, well, while there's power there, well, you were deceived, friend, because he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Well, I kind of felt good there. Well, you were deceived there. If it were possible, he would deceive even the very elect. It's not possible to be deceived through the cross. It's not possible to be deceived in abandonment of self. Now we're in the New Jerusalem. If you're not, don't give sleep to your eyelids, my friend.
It talks about the dew of Hermon. I was thinking of when you were talking about the transfiguration that happened on
Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon.
Don't we have one more song?
Yeah. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Anybody have anything?
I just wanted to point out Psalm 132, the psalmist talking about, you know, not giving slumber to your eyelids. It refers to God twice as the God of Jacob. You know, it's wrestling with the angel all night.
Amen.
That's what that, I mean, you know, it's...
Okay, breakfast is at 9:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
And, well, that's 8.5 hours. I mean, that's...
Assuming you go to sleep in 3 seconds.
Take a big guy.